Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and for your word today. Remove our distractions and speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When we were born again, we became a new creation. We became a new man in Christ. And we're to put on that new man in Christ, live it, and get rid of the old behavior. We went over that last week when you read verses 22 and 24. We put on the new and we take off the old. And we now represent Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master. You know, as a Christian, our lives should change. That's why they call it being born again. If you're not born again, religious, some spirituality, you're probably not going to change. But if you're born again, it will show. It will show. You will change. Because you'll have that new life in Christ, the new desire, the Holy Spirit guiding you. And that's where we are. And we are the light of the world, and we must represent our Lord. The world needs Jesus. They need to see that he lives and he's whole. There's only one way to bring peace, and that's through Jesus. There's only one way to really love, and that's through Jesus. There's no other way. You can't mandate love. You can't. I wish you could say, hey, love someone. I wish you could do that. But you can't do that. It's going to happen through us sharing the gospel. And most of all, living it. Letting people see it in us. If we look like the world, then the world doesn't know there's anything better. But if we act like Jesus, hopefully they'll hunger and thirst for him and want the same thing. But if they see us fighting and arguing and our homes in disarray, who would want that? They already have it. So we're given now some practical application. First, we get into the don'ts in verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Stop lying. What this shows us, Paul's writing this to the church, is that they were lying, some of them. Christians lie. We shouldn't. But a young Christian, you know, I can remember when we first came to Christ, you're wondering, well, what can I do and what can I do as a Christian? And so you read the Word of God and you say, oh, I can't do that anymore. And that's why we have the Bible and we go through the Bible, because it tells us what to do and what not to do. So stop lying. In other words, we should be honest people and not deceitful, telling the truth. You know, our word should be of utmost importance in our life. Our word. It must be truthful and honest, even if there's consequences. Now, why do people lie? You're probably thinking in your head, well, why did I tell that lie? Why do people lie? Many reasons. Well, to make themselves look good, to act innocent, to avoid bad consequences, you know, for someone else to look bad, because they don't like someone. So we're told, do not lie, but not all, only that, but also speak the truth. You see, we're told to speak the truth. Let each one speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. We're one body, the church. We shouldn't lie, and we shouldn't deceive or withhold truth. So in order to be a strong family, and we are, we've gone over this in Ephesians, we are the family of God. Like it or not, we're brothers and sisters, and God is our Father. And in order to be prospering, we can't lie. We have to be honest with one another. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 6, please. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, and a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. It talks twice about lying there. Dishonesty. You see, the Bible says God does not lie. Wouldn't that be awful if we got to heaven and God says, I was just kidding. He doesn't lie. You're going to heaven if you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering, a great life, because God doesn't lie. And he doesn't want his people lying. We must be trustworthy. You know, in Matthew 5, verse 37, Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Any more than that is of the devil. God takes our word very seriously. You know, a lot of times, but I don't want to get caught, or I don't want to get in trouble, or I don't want to look bad. It's just a white lie, or it's just a... It's not, and people have a hard time saying, lying, I just didn't tell the truth. It's a lie. And so we need to be honest and trustworthy. And your yes be yes and your no be no. And accept the consequences. Sometimes there's consequences. Okay, I got caught. I deserve it. Back to our text, verse 26. Then he says, be angry and do not sin. And do not let the sun go down on your wrath. There are times where we can have this righteous anger. He says here, be angry and do not sin. There are times we can get angry because of righteousness. Angry because God was blasphemed or mocked. That hurts me. I don't know about you, but ooh, I hate people that do that. You know, someone may speak against God's people and it stirs up this righteous anger. Ooh, why are they doing that? But we can't allow that anger to turn into sin and hate. You see? We have to watch that we don't fall prey to sin. We can't let the enemy get a hold of us and then become the same as the other side. I get very angry when I hear things. You can ask my wife. I can jump off the couch when I'm watching the news on TV, especially yesterday. Oh, my gosh. But then you have to control yourself and say, God, just help. Help the situation. You see, be angry and not turn to sin. We can't get in the flesh or emotional. We have to stay in the spirit. You know, we read where God was angry with sin and rebellion. He's angry with it. But it's a righteous anger. But we can't begin to hate. We hate the sin and we love the sinner. But isn't that hard? Oh, I wish the Bible didn't say that. But it does. Hate the sin and love the sinner. We have to love them. We can't get angry with one another in the flesh. Let's turn to Psalm 97, verse 10. Psalm 97, verse 10. You who love the Lord, hate evil. You know, and we love the Lord, and we hate evil. And so... that's okay to hate evil, but we've got to love the sinner and pray. You know, I was once a lost sinner. I'm glad I'm saved now. And so we hate sin, and we can get angry, but it says be angry and do not sin. And then the second part of that verse, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. I think of that a lot. Because you can get angry at someone or something, and it tells us here, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. That should convict us when we're angry at someone, when we're full of wrath. See, we have to settle it before the next day. Get over it quickly. quickly. This is a key in marriage. You have to get, just put this verse on your refrigerator magnet. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Put it on your bedpost everywhere. You go to bed, honey, look at this verse. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Can't let it happen. Get over it quickly. Settle it. In other words, he's saying, settle it by the end of the day. These are so practical, what he's sharing with the church here. Settle it. Molehills become mountains at night. Did you notice that? You can wake up in the middle of the night of some little thing, and as you start thinking about it, wow, another hour, you're still up, and this thing is humongous. You need to settle things before you go to bed. Molehills become mountains at night. We're not to have wrath. We're not to hold grudges. We're not to harbor any angry feelings. Get it settled during the day. Don't have wrath. Great instruction for married couples, for parents and children. Make up and go to sleep in peace and don't be angry. You know, I can remember way back, of course, now that I'm a Christian, we never argued, but I can remember way back before we were a Christian, where, you know, you'd have an argument and you wake up in the morning and I think, are we talking or not? Because I don't want to talk if we're not talking yet. For God forbid I give in first. See, you all know it's true. Everybody's smiling. That should be over with the Christian. That should be over. You know, divorces can be avoided by this rule. Forget, forgive, and love each other. But it's their fault. It doesn't say in the Bible if it's their fault. You're okay to be angry. You forgive. You put it aside. Divorces can be avoided. Stubbornness, pride sets in and the anger remains. And the longer you go on, the worse it gets. Communicate. Get it settled. Remember, you love each other. You love each other. Don't fight. Practical app. We have an app for this. Daily read and pray together at a certain time of the day. That will stop the anger because it's going to become very awkward if it's time to read and pray and you've been fighting. Ooh, I mean, we got to do this now? How is this going to work out? And I pray God convicts you before bedtime and that you get it settled. I'm telling you, it's a lot easier to make up and just read and pray. That's what you do. That's the way to live. No matter how angry you get it settled. And don't worry about who started it. Let it finish with you. These are unconditional commands. Well, if they give in, then I'll give in. No, it doesn't say that here. Not in my Bible. Get it settled. And then, it tells us here in verse 27, nor give place to the devil. What you're doing is giving opportunity to the devil to create a division in your relationship. That's what you're doing. He's going, yes, I got him. Now they're not talking. No, maybe they won't go to church. Nor give place to the devil. Settle it with your brother, as it tells us in the gospel. In Matthew, you know, get it settled. Go to him and tell him if he has something against him. That means your husband or your wife. Communicate. Get rid of the wrath in your heart. You know what's going to happen? You're going to set yourself free. And you won't have to wake up in the morning and say, are we talking or not? You're always talking in the morning because you've settled it. Devil wants to ruin you in your relationships. Remember this. Your husband, your wife, your child, your parent is not the enemy. The devil is. And he wins when he creates division. They are not your enemy. I always remember that. Wait a minute. He's trying to do something. Divide. Don't give him a foothold in your home. Don't let your neighbors hear your anger toward each other. That's a bad witness. Make up today. If you have something against another, well, I would suggest you go outside after service and get in a corner out there and get it settled. And then we'll see who was arguing. No, I'm just kidding. Get it settled at home. Get it settled at home. See, people, he's giving them these words of God so that people will see the changed life of a Christian. We are not like the world. We are in it, but not of it. And we need to be different because we have Jesus as our Savior and the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And people need to see that we're different. Don't open the door for Satan by arguing. And then it tells us here, verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer. Are we in the right text here? Okay, let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Now, this is interesting. You know, maybe you were a thief before Christ, I don't know, but maybe you used to steal. See, stealing is a sin. Old behavior needs to be gone. We're not to steal, but we're to work. You know, it amazes me. How many crooks would be good workers if they would only do it honestly? Some of these people are really brilliant, and they put in a lot of time. Why don't they do it legally? They're trying to do things illegally, putting all this effort in. They know a lot of them. Very good on the computer and everywhere else. You just wonder, why aren't you making a living the honest way here? So don't steal at work or anywhere. There's many ways to steal. Time, money, things. Don't steal, but work. And share. Did you notice that? Let him who steal no longer, but rather let him labor with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. He's saying, as a Christian, we should be giving people. Oh, but I don't need anything. Well, it says right here, well, then maybe you'll have something to give him who has need. It's good to give. And we should give. And when we work, we pay taxes, we're giving to people. We're giving to people in many ways. And we should do that. God wants us to. Just remember this. Everything we can do or have is because of the Lord. That can all change immediately. But God says, no, I'm giving to you as a funnel to pour out to other people. And if you can do it, fine. If you can't, well, God knows that. He doesn't hold us accountable for what we don't have, for just what we do have. Don't steal, but work and share. Give to others who don't have. He says, use your money in a rightful way. Help the less fortunate out. In other words, don't just be concerned about self. The Christian life is one of preferring others before themselves. That's what the Bible says. We should be concerned with other people. I mean, that opens up the door to share the gospel. And people see that we're different. And in verse 29, watch your mouth. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, for building up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. No profanity. No bad language. No foul language for the Christian. No filthy language. What we speak, what is good for the edification or building up of other people. God gave us a mouth to use it to build up other people and to worship Him. That's what we should be doing. Bless others. Grace them. Not to curse one another. We're not to be a potty mouth or one who tears people down or corrupts with our words. We're not to do that. That's not godly. Stop the dirty jokes, the suggestive and foul language. That's corrupt communication. You see, we're not to let any corrupt words out of our mouth, but we're to impart grace to the hearers. We're to be gracious. If you have a problem with language, you go home today and you ask the Lord to deliver you from that today. People say, I can't help it. It's just my personality or the way I am. Nothing is impossible with God. Believe it or not, He can change you. He's stronger than you. But you must ask. You must ask Him to do it. And He will do it for you. Stop the dirty jokes, the suggestive language. You know, if you don't have something good to say, then you probably should hold your tongue. We won't be talking much, will we? We need to watch what we say. No corrupt communication. Be constructive. You know, don't tear down your children. It tells us in the Bible, fathers, you know, don't burden your children down. You know, watch the way you talk to them and handle them. Don't tear down your children, but build them up. Children, don't tear down your parents. They love you. They're there for you. Build them up in the Lord. You notice it says there, for necessary edification that it may impart grace to the hearers. You know, as a body of Christ, we should be building up each other and be a strong unit. We've talked about this family of God. We're brothers and sisters, and God is our Father. And the worst thing we could do is have infighting rather than building up. We need to be encouraging one another and building up one another and be strong. So the world looks at us and say, wow, who are those people? What do they have? I want it. With our speech, we can destroy people. Let's turn to James chapter 3, please. James chapter 3. Verse 3 of chapter 3. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. You notice he says, brethren? Wow, he's speaking to Christians. That shouldn't be in our homes or in our workplace or anywhere. Don't curse men and bless God with the same tongue. In other words, consistency in our walk. You see, we need to bless and build up people. Verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy... What happens when we do these things? We grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do we all believe that the Holy Spirit indwells the believer? We better. That's what the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians, that we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit when we're born again. See, but the Bible tells us we can quench the Spirit. Hey, we can get so worldly and carnal, we can quench the Spirit and be ineffective. And we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Just picture your mother attached to your side, hearing every word you share and seeing everything you do. Ugh. Worse than that, it's the Holy Spirit of God. Wherever you are, whatever you do, the Holy Spirit is with you. I think of that a lot. Wow. I better be acting right here where I am, anywhere I am, because I'm taking the Lord everywhere I go. The Holy Spirit. It's not like you say, stay outside while I go in here. Some people do. You see, we have to be careful that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And then you run into physical problems because something's not quite right in you. You don't feel right, or things aren't working out, or I don't know that God hears me. If you feel distant from God, guess who moved? You did. I did. You see, we're grieving the Holy Spirit. We don't know what's wrong. I can't put my finger on it, but things aren't right anymore. I just don't have that right attitude toward God, or just don't feel right. You're probably grieving the Holy Spirit of God. We need to do a self-check and say, wait, how am I living? What am I doing? Am I grieving the Holy Spirit of God? Ephesians 1, look back a couple of pages. Ephesians 1, verse 13. Speaking of Christ, verse 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, became a believer, in whom also having believed, you were then sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And he's our guarantee. We know we're Christians. We know this is all real because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit in us. And when you start to stray, it's like, ugh, I feel guilty. I shouldn't have said that. Good. That's good. Because we're grieving the Holy Spirit. And the reason this happens is so that we return to the Lord. Repent and confess and get right. So we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You know, we need to be conscious of this. The Holy Spirit is always with us. We're God's people. We're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And we can grieve him by the sinful behavior we just listed above. You know, we don't want to cause sorrow to the one who dwells in us. You know, if you might be feeling bad today, check out your life. If need be, ask God for forgiveness. The good news, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. In 1 John 1, as soon as you ask for forgiveness. Isn't that wonderful? This continual cleansing we have from the Lord as Christians. Then more here in verse 31. Verse 31, it says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. You know, sometimes you get angry at people and you give them a piece of your mind. How do you feel at nighttime after you did that? I hope you feel convicted, because I know that horrible feeling. You said something you shouldn't have, or did something you shouldn't have, and then when the Lord gets a hold of you again that night or the next day, it's like, oh, I got to make this right. There's something wrong. Put it, you know the best way to live? Don't do it. Be free every day. Happy in the Lord. Isn't that great? He says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, and with all malice. So let all bitterness, this means smoldering resentment or harsh feeling, bitter toward you. Unwilling to forgive. I often think of pure chocolate. Now, when you look at chocolate, what's the first thing you think of? Sweet. But did you ever bite into pure chocolate? Bitter. See, we Christians can act like milk chocolate at times, can't we? But inside, it's bitter, pure chocolate. And we're backbiting, and we're bitter. Put it away. Be sweet. Be nice. Let all wrath, verse 31, be gone. That means temper and bursts of rage. Has to go with the Christian. We wouldn't be representing the Lord. And we do that by yielding to the Holy Spirit and crucifying the flesh. Pray. Help me, God. Get rid of this in me. Verse 31, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. Just put it off, it says. God, take it away with all malice. Anger, you know, we went over that previously. That's hostility. There's no room for anger in the Christian, not unrighteous anger. We should hate sin and love God. And we just dislike certain ungodly things. But we're not to have hate towards people. And we need to pray about that. Lord, deliver me from that. Put it off. Help me to put it off. This wrath, this anger, this clamor. That clamor means loud quarreling. That's a no-no in the Christian. You know why? One day someone's going to hear you. And you're going to be embarrassed and a bad witness. Loud quarreling. No need to quarrel. We represent the Lord. It doesn't matter who's right or wrong. These are one-way commands. Put it away. Clamor, evil speaking. Put it off. Don't quarrel. You don't want the neighbors to hear you quarreling when they know you're a Christian. Oh, but I never told them, so we're okay. No, that's not good. You need to tell them, first of all. And then don't do it. What a bad witness that is. Loud quarreling. But I'm right and they're wrong. Would you rather have peace in your home or always be right? I'd rather have peace. Sometimes we have to just bite our tongue. My tongue is so sore. No. Sometimes we just have to, you just want to, you just have to run out of the room. Better you do that than quarrel loudly. Verse 31, put away evil speaking. That means abusive speech, insulting language. Slander, put it away. Disliking others, put that away. And put away malice. That's wishing evil or harm on others. We don't want to do that. We can get so angry, you can say, I wish you were dead. What if God took their life right there? How would you feel the rest of your life? I didn't mean it, Lord. Too late. Worse than that, say they live and live with that hateful remark you made. And it destroys the relationship. You see, put away evil speaking, slander, insulting language. Oh, but I didn't mean it. Well, wait a minute. You're 59 years old. You should have grown up by now. Watch what you say. Put away malice. All these things grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, in 1 Peter, it tells us about Jesus, our example. It says, when he was reviled, he didn't revile in return, but he committed it to God the Father to handle it. The Lord says, vengeance is mine. We don't have to get back at him. That's not our job. That's the Lord's job. If you get reviled, persecuted, big deal. So did Jesus. He didn't come off that cross and say, I'm wiping all of you out. See, the life of a Christian is so radical that we almost can't even picture it in our day and age. But this is truth. I think we can all agree if we live this way, what a wonderful life it would be. We would feel much better inside. It's good for our bones, for our health. You see. So these are the things we shouldn't do. But it tells us in verse 32, in the verse we go home with, this is what we should do. These are the do's. This is the way to be. First of all, be kind to one another. That's concern for others. Helpful to others, even at great personal sacrifice. Oh, it might cost you. It might put you out. It might change your schedule. You know, the Bible says in another place, prefer others before yourself. Jesus preferred us before himself. It was not fun going to the cross. Oh, I don't feel like doing that today. I got better things to do on a Friday than get nailed to the cross. He did it for me. He did it for you. He laid his life down for another. That's the Christian life. What would be good to do? What would be the right thing to do? Concern for others. Doing kind things to others. Even the little things. Well, that doesn't even matter. Yeah, the little things matter. Ask your wife if the little things matter. And I think if she's honestly, well, yeah, you know, they really do. And husbands, too, would like that. The little things. And the children and the parents. I think we all like kindness and doing good to one another. And tender-hearted. Our heart needs to be soft toward others, compassionate. I feel sorry for people with hard hearts. I have no concern for others. They can say anything they want and tear down others. I feel sorry for them because they're missing out on real life and love. Until we're tender-hearted, I don't know that we can experience real love. Tender heart toward others. And sometimes it hurts and it costs. When you love others, it hurts at times because you love them. But we need to be tender-hearted. We need to soften up and not have a stony heart or a dull heart or protect your heart so that you don't get hurt. No. We're to be tender-hearted. And in the process, you will get hurt because people may not do the same to you. You see? But it's all a one-way street. This is the life of victory. You want your life in order, your home in order, our nation in order? This is it. In verse 32, we need to be forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We need to forgive. That means we forgive with no retaliation. I don't know that we can ever forget. I don't think the Bible says that, and I don't know where that whoever came up with that, well, let's forget it, you know, forgive and forget. It says to forgive. But God didn't start to say, okay, you're forgiven. No, it cost him his son on the cross because a price had to be paid for that. He couldn't just forget it. And let's admit it, when someone hurts you or does something, it's very hard to forget. You can forgive, but it's still there. And time heals, I agree. And you don't think about it. Let's say you don't think about it anymore. But I don't think the mind, you can go into like the computer and erase it. Because 5 years down the line, if that person does the same thing to you again, what's the first thing you're going to say? I thought you said you were never going to do that again. You remember. That's okay, as long as we're tender-hearted and loving and forgiving. Then it won't be an issue. That's one of the miracles of God, that we can live this way despite our human nature. Because our human nature couldn't do this. You have to be born again. He's talking to the church. The world can't live this way. And it doesn't. But we can, because we have the power of the Holy Spirit and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We can do this. We can do this. We can be kind and we can be forgiving one another. And you know, what about the hurt and the broken heart? How is that going to be healed? It'll be healed through forgiveness. I forgive you. It's not an issue. That's how it'll be healed. Maybe you've been reading books or going to seminars or trying to figure out how to heal this relationship or get rid of this in your heart. Just listen to the Bible. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, and forgive. It's over. And go on. And let the Lord take you through and heal you. You see? And how do we forgive the way God in Christ Jesus forgave us? You know, in Matthew 18, when Peter, who thought he was such a good guy, came to Jesus and says, how often do I have to forgive my brother 7 times? He thought he was saying a good thing. I'm willing to forgive this guy 7 times for doing this to me. He says, Peter, 70 times 7. You've got a long way to go. Only it wasn't a matter of numbers. He means always. Always. But they just did it the same thing last week. Our command is to forgive. You know, forgiveness heals. It's good for you, the forgiver. Otherwise, you're in bondage to it. Forgive. It heals us. God knows what's best for us. I think as we read these things, we'll agree it's a much, much better life for us if we live by the do's and not the don'ts. Isn't it better? Wow. And the good news is we can all do it. Leave here today and do it. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. As we yield to the Holy Spirit, follow Jesus, we'll do it. God has spoken to us today. If you need some help in an area, just pray today for God to heal it. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for forgiving us. Lord, it's so wonderful to be a Christian and have hope in this world. We are nothing without you. It's impossible to live this way without you in our life. But here we are, born again, following Jesus. New creatures in Christ. Representatives of you in the final days here on this earth. How wonderful to be here. It's difficult, but it's the best way, following you. We thank you for your love for us. We ask you to create in us a clean heart and renew in us a right spirit. And Lord, we would ask you to save anyone or bring back to you anyone in this service today that has not come to you or strayed. Life is not good without you. It's very difficult today. There's much temptation and sin, evil and violence in this world, Lord. It can harden the heart. But you soften hearts. You're the tenderizer. If you're in this room today and you want to give your life completely to Jesus, just surrender all. Just know he died on the cross for you. He's God in the flesh. He's the Son of God who came to seek and to save the lost, you and I. You must acknowledge that. You must acknowledge you're a sinner and that he paid for every one of your sins on that cross. You must repent, which means turn from that way of life, and ask Jesus into your heart to take over. I'm going to say a prayer. This is between you and God. If that's your desire today, please pray this to your God. Dear God in heaven, I am a sinner. And I thank you that I heard your word today. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. And I now repent of my sin. And I ask Jesus to come into my life and take over. I surrender all to you, Lord. You are now my Lord and Savior. Please make me a new person. Teach me how to live. And write my name in your book of life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, for giving me this chance at life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.